Well, thank you, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here this morning. So today I'm going to present on a large-scale epidemiological study of sickle cell disease in Uganda. It's called the Uganda Sickle Surveillance Study, and the partnerships and strategies that made it all possible. So I have no relationships to disclose. So to jump right in, sickle cell disease refers to a group of genetic blood disorders. At the molecular level, it's caused by a point mutation in the beta globin gene that alters the physical properties of the hemoglobin and forms these distorted red blood cells into that distinctive pathological sickle shape, as you can see in the smear on the slide. So these irregularly shaped cells obstruct the blood flow and cause those hallmark symptoms of pain and anemia, and presents in infancy with repeated pain crisis and infection that is the main cause of mortality, especially early mortality, especially in low resource settings. So it is inherited in an autosomal recessive manner. So individuals who have inherit the mutation from both their parents have the homozygous genotype of SS and have sickle cell disease and a sickle cell anemia, and this is the most common and severe form of the disease. And individuals who inherit one mutation from their parents have the heterozygous genotype of AS, which means that they are carriers of the disease. They have sickle cell trait. So the sickle gene arose as a natural mutation against malaria, and there is a positive selection for individuals who have who are heterozygous and have sickle cell trait, as they have some protection against malaria infection. But that's not the story for individuals who have sickle cell disease, who have a higher risk of dying of malaria infection. So on this map, the red represents the sickle allele frequency, and the green represents malaria pressure. So this map illustrates that the prevalence of sickle cell disease in high-pressure malaria regions reflects the genetic advantage that sickle cell gene offers, allowing the sickle allele to reach very high frequencies in these areas. So sickle cell affects millions of people around the world, but the most substantial burden is in sub-Saharan Africa, as you can see here. More than 75% of the annual 400,000 global sickle cell disease births occur in sub-Saharan Africa. So that's the highest burden and the lowest resource setting. And the WHO estimates that 50 to 80% of the affected children will die before age 5 years. So we know that there's a lot of sickle cell disease, but we really need to understand the details and the current state of the burden, as this constitutes a major public health issue in many African countries. And the way to begin to address this problem, these large gaps in knowledge, the large gaps in research, the large gaps in care and treatment, is to develop partnerships between government and academia to raise the banner and prioritize this health, the health agenda with sickle cell disease. So the WHO back in 2010 released the report on the African region, talking about how there are no current national policies and plans that are adequate for sickle cell disease, and then recognizing that the deaths from sickle cell disease complications occur mostly in children under 5 years. And there are leading experts in the field who are asking, is sickle cell a neglected disease? And we need to make a case for developing these partnerships for research and for raising the banner for sickle cell. So our study, we looked to Uganda, which is a sub-Saharan East African country. It's a small country in the east, but it has a large population of 37 million and a large annual birth rate of large annual births of 1.6 million a year. The under 5 mortality that was just released this year is 55 in 1,000 live births. And recently, the United Nations reported on the Millennium Development Goals for child mortality rates, and found that many developing countries, just like Uganda, are experiencing falling mortality rates. So under these circumstances, the prevalence of genetic conditions such as sickle cell disease will tend to increase. So, there are an estimated 20,000 annual sickle cell disease births that occur in Africa, and it is estimated that sickle cell contributes 15% of the under 5 mortality in this country. So the current challenges that Uganda faces with sickle cell disease, like many African countries, include limited and outdated data regarding the burden of disease in the country, the lack of knowledge among healthcare workers and the public, which doesn't allow sickle cell disease to be recognized and accurately diagnosed. As I mentioned earlier, it presents in infancy and needs to be diagnosed early, and children need to be brought into care early. There are no national strategies for sickle cell disease, and it doesn't exist on the current non-communicable disease agenda in the country. And there's no newborn screening and a lack of access to care that also contributes to this challenge. So our partnership for our study really developed and began with the Uganda Ministry of Health, who understood that sickle cell disease was a big burden in their country, but not to the extent. So they commissioned an up-to-date data on the sickle cell disease burden. And so the ministry enlisted the expertise in programmatic research and experience from our team at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, as well as the local academic body, which is Macquarie University, which brought additional sickle cell and public health experience, as well as their knowledge of the local ethics board, which is a big part of bringing studies into these countries. We also have an extended partnership chain, which included local funds management company and vendors that were local that could provide equipment, reagents, and laboratory supplies as we began to build capacity. So another critical partner in our focal study setting was the Central Public Health Laboratories, which is part of the Ministry of Health. It's part of their National Disease Control Program of Uganda, of the Uganda Ministry of Health. And one of their primary testing services is this part of the Prevention to Mother-to-Child Transmission Program of the CDC called the Early Infant Diagnosis Program, which was initiated back in 2006. And this program collects and tests dried blood spots from HIV-exposed babies from across the country. And as part of this program, the Central Public Health Laboratory established this novel system to collect samples from across the country and bring them back for testing, and then also for result reporting. So what they did was they created a network of regional and large district hospitals called hubs, which each served about 20 to 40 health facilities. And there are about more than 70 hubs, which provides 90% coverage of samples across the country. And so the dried blood spots that were collected from health facilities were collected by motorized bikes and then transferred to the hubs by these bikes, as you can see in the picture. And then a courier carried the samples from the hubs to the Central Public Health Laboratory for testing. And then it was the reverse progress for result reporting. So for the Central Public Health Laboratory as our study setting, where we renovated space to develop sickle cell laboratory testing and a laboratory testing, a sickle cell testing laboratory. So the lab was set up with new equipment and reagents provided by Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and our team conducted on-site technical training to the new sickle cell laboratory personnel. And it was in February 2014 that the sickle cell laboratory was opened and our Uganda sickle surveillance study was launched. And our short-term goals were really to build local capacity and to determine the feasibility for testing a high volume of samples, as well as a plan for ongoing training and troubleshooting, which we did through Skype calls, weekly Skype calls, even when we left the on-site. So the Uganda Sickle Surveillance Study, our primary objective was to describe the current prevalence and distribution of sickle cell disease. And we hypothesized that there was a large sickle cell burden across Uganda, but with very substantial geographic variability. And our methods were, this was a one-year cross-sectional study, and we used those dry blood spot cards. We repurposed them from the EID program. So we performed hemoglobin electrophoresis by isoelectric focusing on up to 1,000 dry blood spot cards. That was the goal. And IEF allows for the separation of different hemoglobin bands in predictable patterns to be able to distinguish sickle cell disease from trait from other hemoglobin variants. So to go into the results, the local sickle cell laboratory capacity building positioned at the Central Public Health Laboratory has developed into the national sickle cell laboratory, and this was demonstrated through efficiency, where they were testing up to 2,000 samples per week during the study and running at high accuracy. So when they repeated trait and disease samples by the isoelectric focusing, their accuracy was at 99% for result reporting. And so they would run dry blood spot samples by IEF 5 days per week. And to this day, now in the laboratory, the capacity has doubled. As you can see, Stephen, one of our lab techs, is standing by the first four gel electrophoresis boxes that we have, which we've expanded to 8. So we've doubled in equipment, we've doubled in space, have renovated more space for sickle cell testing, and have added additional personnel. And so they've really begun targeted sickle cell screening efforts post the US-3 study and have some additional research projects and skill building, such as DNA-based technology for sickle cell confirmatory testing and characterizing hemoglobin variants. So these are the results of the sickle surveillance study, and this is the map that was generated with our results. So it was between February 2014 and March 2015, a total of 99,243 dry blood spots were analyzed. So the overall prevalence of trait was found to be 13.1% and disease at 0.7%. And as you can see on the map, it really ranged from the southwest region, as you can see the low sickle cell trait frequency, up into some high area regions that had up to 19% trait in the east central region. And so the interesting thing about this map is that it really showed us that sickle cell trait is in all of the districts. There are 112 districts in Uganda, and sickle cell trait is in each one of them. Eight of the districts have over 20% trait, and 14 districts contain 47% of the disease. So our study also allowed us to look at positive correlations with malaria prevalence, as well as early mortality analysis and HIV comorbidity, since we were testing those EID samples. And then a final result that we learned from this study was the model for a successful North-South partnership, really joining academia with Cincinnati Children's and with McCare University and government with the Ministry of Health to combine expertise and funding and really establishing it as a local leadership and local ownership project. The focus intervention was targeted strictly on sickle cell disease, and it allowed for integrated study design. And also local capacity building was and health system strengthening. And we began to address the components of the National Sickle Cell Program. So the early detection with the sickle, with the newborn training and the newborn testing, as well as moving into preventative care and awareness, are the next steps. So in conclusion, the sickle cell disease is a major public health issue that is unrecognized and unaddressed in sub-Saharan Africa. And Uganda currently has a very large burden of disease, as you saw, as a result of the US-3 study we were able to see, with variability across the country. And then, of course, our successful partnership between Cincinnati Children's, the Ministry of Health, and McCary allowed us to build and develop the sickle cell capacity to create this map that's able to help to inform the ministry about where to go next and where the burden is in their country, and also to help Uganda to begin to develop and implement national sickle cell strategies.
Great. Thank you very much.